This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Today our khutbah is about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll begin with the statement of Nuh عليه السلام that is in the Quran, ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا. And Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما says, it means لا تخافون لله عظمة وليس لله عندكم قدر. That what the verse is saying, what is the matter with you that you do not fear the greatness of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mean much to you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have much weight with you. And we are very much in need of this type of reminder, because our hearts have become saturated with the love of this world. It has affected our worship and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've become attached to materialism, drowned in desires, and shrouded in doubt. Allah azza wa jal tells us in the Quran that the inanimate objects will respond to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to His words better than some hearts of people do. The mountains and solid rocks would crumble. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Had we sent down this Quran upon a mountain, you would certainly have seen it crumbling, falling down, splitting apart out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do you not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth, they prostrate to Him. وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ, and the sun and the moon. وَالنُّجُومُ وَالْجِبَالُ وَالشَّجَرُ وَالدَّوَابُ, and the stars and the mountains and the trees and all the animals. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, and many of the people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say all of the people, but all of the trees, all of the animals, all of the mountains, all of the stars, but not all of humanity, not all of the people, just many of them. Ya'ni, the inanimate objects are responding better to Allah azza wa jal than some people do. تسبح له السماوات السبع والأرض ومن فيهن. The seven heavens and the earth, they all glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. And there is not a thing except that it is glorifying and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِن لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. But you do not comprehend their praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the seven heavens and the angels in them. And concerning the angels in them, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith, إِنِّي أَرَى مَا لَا تَرَوْنَ. I see what you do not see. وَأَسْمَعُ مَا لَا تَسْمَعُونَ. And I hear what you do not hear. Then he says, إِنَّ السَّمَاءَ أَطَّتْ وَحُقَّ لَهَا أَنْ تَئِطْ. That the heavens creaked when there's a lot of weight on something and the wood creaks, or the stairs in your house would creak. He says the heavens creaked, and rightfully so that they did creak. Because there is not the space of four fingers except there is an angel standing or bowing or prostrating in prayer. Look at the vastness of the heavens, and this entire size, for every measure of four fingers, there's an angel. Next to him is another angel. Next to him is another angel. Behind him is an angel. In front of him is an angel. Filling this space of the seven heavens, not just one heaven, but the seven heavens, packed like this. In another narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and they have been doing so, yani they've been in prayer, quality and quantity, ever since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. And only Allah knows how long that's been, but they've been praying non-stop. They don't stop to rest or sleep or eat. And it's quality and quantity. And another narration yet mentions that when the trumpet or the horn is blown into on the Day of Judgment, to announce the Day of Judgment, they will say, oh Allah, مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ. Ya Allah, oh Allah, we have not worshipped you as you deserve. So far be it from the believing man or woman to finish the salah. Half of it was thinking about markets and wealth and other things, and then think that this is enough. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ taught us that the first thing we say after the taslim is astaghfirullah three times, which is something that we typically say after committing a bad deed. So why are we saying it after doing the best act of worship with the body, which is salah? And the scholars say it's as if to say, Ya Allah, this salah that I just completed is not befitting of your greatness and not befitting of your majesty. In another hadith, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows how the angels fear and recognize the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَن يُوحِيَ بِالْأَمْرِ تَكَلَّمَ بِالْوَحِي. When Allah wants to decree something, He speaks out the wahi, the decree. And then when Allah speaks it out, the seven heavens are taken with this severe shaking, and every angel falls down in prostration. Then the Prophet ﷺ describes that the first to raise his head will be Jibreel alayhi salam. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla will inform him of his decree. Then he'll go from one heaven to the next, and only then do the angels lift up their head. And they will ask, what has our Lord said? ماذا قال ربنا يا جبريل? And then Jibreel will tell them the decree. But it shows you the level of how the angels recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith narrated by Al-Bayhaqi, it starts off with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam having a discussion with Jibreel. As you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam met with Jibreel alayhi salam. So he's meeting with Jibreel alayhi salam, and then he says, while I'm speaking to Jibreel, the sky opened up and an angel started to come down. So he says, فَأَقْبَلَ جِبْرِيلُ يَتَضَاءَلُ وَيَدْخُلْ بَعْضُهُ فِي بَعْضٍ وَيَدْنُو مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. So Jibreel then, يعني يتضاءل, as if he started to cower down, to shrink like this. And he says, as if he's imploding, يعني, sinking into himself. يَدْخُلْ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضٍ. And he's just shrinking like this. And يدنو من الأرض, getting close to the ground. Then the angel came and asked the Prophet ﷺ certain questions. And then he ascended. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Jibreel, I wanted to ask you about this angel, but I was distracted by what I saw of your reaction. And then in the rest of the hadith, Jibreel alayhi salam describes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this angel, that his name is Israfil, and how Allah created him, and between him and Allah are 70 layers of light. Then he goes into his tasks, Jibreel alayhi salam, his own tasks, and those of Mikhail, as the Prophet ﷺ is asking him. And then he answers the first, he explains why he reacted that way. He says that, وَمَا ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ هَبَطَ إِلَّا لِقِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ. And I thought that this angel came down to announce the Day of Judgment. وَمَا ذَاكَ الَّذِي رَأَيْتَ مِنِّي إِلَّا خَوْفًا مِنْ قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ. Jibreel alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as shadidul quwa, dhu mirratin, the most powerful of the angels, he almost collapsed upon himself out of fear, thinking that the Day of Judgment is about to start. He says, what you saw from me is my intense fear from the Day of Judgment and from the greatness of that day. And Jibreel alayhi salam is not going to be held accountable. He doesn't stand in front of Allah azza wa jal. He doesn't commit sins. He doesn't go to Jannah nor the hellfire. What would cause Shadidul Quwa to be afraid of the Day of Judgment? To almost collapse upon himself because he thinks the Day of Judgment is about to start. But it's the angels who understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا أَلَمْ تَرَوْا كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا. What is the matter with you that you do not fear and recognize the greatness of Allah? And indeed, He has created you in different stages. And Allah mentions that He created us in stages so we don't become arrogant. We don't think we can challenge Allah. We're at one point in our creation, the size we could fit on the top of a pinhead. And Allah created us and carried us from one stage until the next and gave us everything that we needed to make it from one stage until the next. As the scholars say, you are created from a substance. If it fell on your clothing, you would rush to get rid of it. أَلَمْ نَخْلُقُكُمْ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ. They would not create you from a despicable, lowly fluid. Continuing the verses, do you not see how Allah has created the seven heavens, one above the other, and made the moon a light in them, and then made the sun a lamp, and Allah has made you grow out of the earth, a true growth. Then He returns you to it, and then He'll bring you forth a new beginning. Brothers and sisters in Islam, if we felt the greatness of Allah, how heavy would sins be upon us? Today we justify, we explain away the sins, how the times have changed, and how this should be acceptable. But it's like Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the companion, said. He said that the believer, he sees his sins as a mountain that is hovering above his head, and it might fall upon them at any moment. Whereas the fajir, the dissolute, someone who lacks moral restraint, someone who is constantly falling into sin, he sees his sins as a fly that just sat on his nose. فَقَالَ بِهِ هَكَذَا. And he just does this. And the narrator, he swooshed his hand in front of his nose. Just, that's it. The sin to them is just like a fly landing on their nose. They shoot it off. And that was the end of that. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to examine our lives. And only we can do this for ourselves. We need to examine our lives and see what we can change and what we can eliminate from bad deeds. Because you can't have the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, you can't recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you're constantly falling into the haram. Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, وَمِنْ عُقُوبَاتِهَا أَيُّ الْمَعَاصِ. From the effects and from the punishments of constantly falling into sin, that it creates weakness in the heart when it comes to recognizing the greatness of Allah. يعني, it weakens the greatness of Allah in your heart. And you don't hold Allah Azza wa Jal at awe as you should. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, he was asked, what is the strangest of all things? In your mind, what is the strangest thing of all? He said, a heart that recognizes and knows Allah and then disobeys Him. This is how they looked at it. So it can't be that someone recognizes the greatness of Allah, but they're constantly listening to the haram. Someone recognizes the greatness of Allah, but their eyes are always looking at the haram. Someone recognizes the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, but Fajr for them is after the sun rises. Someone recognizes the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, but the masjid is only a place they see on the day of Al-Jumu'ah, the day of Friday. With that, أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, عكرمة, who was one of the great مفسرين of the Quran, he was with a group of people and they were sitting near the sea. فهي said, الحمد لله. So they knew that he was about to give them an admonition, a reminder. So he says, the people who drown in the sea, they die, and then the fish will eat their flesh. Then their bones float to the top, and the waves will carry their bones until they wash onto some shore. Then the sun will dry these bones. Then the camels will come, and they will eat these bones. And camels actually do that. Then they will transfer these bones into dung. Then a group of travelers will come, and they will use that dung to light their fire. And then the wind will scatter the ashes into the wind and around the land. And then he says, when the horn is blown into on the day of judgment, فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ فَيَخْرُجُ أُولَٰئِكَ وَأَهْلُ الْقُبُورِ سَوَاءٌ. He says, then when the horn is blown into, and then he recites from the verse, where they will suddenly be standing upright, completely conscious, looking around. And he says, they and the people in the graves will emerge in exactly the same way. It will not be harder upon Allah Azza wa Jalla to resurrect them. It will not take more effort. They will not get away with it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. So where will you go? You cannot hide somewhere and miss the Qiyamah bus. You cannot stay somewhere where you will not be asked in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, where will you go? Where will you escape? There's no way and no place to go. That's why, brothers and sisters, we need to be judges over our own actions. And we need to examine our lives and see what we can change for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, what we can eliminate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, but we transfer that awe and the recognition of the greatness of Allah, transfer it to our wives and to our children and to our families. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it. And to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah. Wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinabah. Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina. Wa la mablagh ilmina. ولا إلى النار مصيرنا. اللهم اسق عبادك وانشر رحمتك وأحي بلدك الميت. اللهم سقيا رحمة لا عذاب ولا بلاء ولا هدم ولا غرق. اللهم اسقنا, اللهم اسقنا, اللهم اسقنا, اللهم أغثنا, اللهم أغثنا, اللهم أغثنا. اللهم أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت, أنت الغني ونحن الفقراء. أنزل علينا الغيث واجعل ما أنزلت لنا قوة وبلاغا إلى حين. اللهم اسقنا غيثا مغيثا هنيئا مريئا مريعا غدقا. اللهم اسقنا الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانطين. اللهم إن بالعباد والبلاد والبهائم والخلق ما لا نشكوه إلا إليك. اللهم أنبت لنا الزرع واسقنا من بركات السماء وأنبت لنا من بركات الأرض. اللهم ارفع عنا الجهد والجوع، واكشف عنا من البلاء ما لا يكشفه غيرك. اللهم إنا نستغفرك إنك أنت كنت غفارا، فأرسل السماء علينا مدرارا. اللهم اسق عبادك وانشر رحمتك وأحيي بلدك الميت، وصل اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وقوموا إلى صلاتكم رحمكم الله.